You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We can also be heard on the World Wide Web, Miss Ellen.
That's right. On 1510 WWBC, you can hit that on-demand button and get us live every single Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. And then all of our shows are archived also on that website, as well as our website, which is cetamediainc.com. We hear it all over the world.
Well, I missed you last week. I knew that you had car trouble.
Yeah.
And I understand that a lot of people are using their stimulus to take your car repairs.
Yes.
Are you one of those, Miss Ellen?
I have not gotten my stimulus money yet, so I'm pre-using my stimulus money.
Yeah.
But yes.
I got about 40 texts and emails from people who said, "Hey, Sita, I heard you were talking about the stimulus, and I use my stimulus for car repairs,
right,
car tires." And I'm wondering what all these folks were doing before they got the stimulus, right? And
well, car repairs got quite pricey, as did gas prices and so forth. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of happy that people were able to use it that way, because not everybody can save when they're working a full time job. I mean, by the time you pay your rent or mortgage, car payment, car insurance, put food on the table, and God knows health insurance costs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And send children to school. Some people don't have that kind of money to save $1,400. They don't.
That's right. That's
and
right.
If it's a mommy and a daddy and a couple of kids, more power to you. Use it wisely.
And of course, you know I play music, so the $1,400 for all of my band members went different places.
Yeah.
They bought guitars and amps and so forth. So hopefully, if you're not having to spend money on something that is necessary, right?
Yeah,
your car,
a necessity.
And so forth. A necessity, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, you're getting some fun out of it.
Well, I just want to say thanks to President Joe Biden and his team. They're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which way we cut it or slice it, it is helping people, right?
Absolutely.
So we have a really great lineup today. We have, I'm always on Facebook meeting new people, right? And then I have some great friends as well.
Yeah.
So my friend Karen Green is calling in, and Karen is, she was appointed one of the vice chairs at the Florida Democratic Party.
What an honor.
Yeah, she's calling in the first segment, and she was also a delegate for President Joe Biden at the Democratic National Convention, a former senior advisor for the U.S. territories for Bloomberg 2020, and lots of other stuff. She's going to tell us more about herself. And in the second segment, Santana Payne is calling in. She's going to talk about empowering and emboldering women, and she's going to talk a little bit about her organization called Say It With Love, Sis.
Yes.
So that's good, right?
Yes.
So I know we have Karen Green on the phone. So Karen, thank you, and I'm so delighted that you're taking time to call into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, good afternoon, Sita. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here with you, my sister friend. Thank you, too, for your listening audience, for your, you know, the dedication they have with you on this program for a while, for being informative and just being that leader of a lantern in this country in so many ways. An immigrant who came here and is leading the way for democracy and just for civic responsibility. Thank you for having me, my sister.
Oh, you know what? You empower me as well. And, you know, I read something this morning, and it reminded me so much of you. The quote said, "Just breathe. You are strong enough to cope with your challenges, wise enough to find a solution to your problems, and capable enough to do whatever needs to be done."
Wow.
I just said, what a great way to start the show, because that's what you show all of us and demonstrate when we meet you in person, when we see what you're doing for the community, You're not one of those people that waste a single minute, and it empowers a lot of us to do that. And I am just grateful that you're my friend, and that I know people like you, because coming from the Caribbean, sometimes I meet a lot of people that they're here and they want to work and they want to save money and they want to buy a house and they want to invest and they want to send their kids to school and have the American dream, but they do not get involved in politics or issues that affect them, their community, or their people. And I know you see that as well, correct?
I do. And you know what's interesting is that our Caribbean brothers and sisters and other immigrants across the globe, that's what you just described, is all good. All of those priorities are priorities that we need to invest in our children, social, economically, and all of those wonderful things if we have a better way of life. But there are few of us that are called to this kind of appointment. You know, not many of us, and we can understand the role people play. Each person has a responsibility and decides to do their part. But as I said before, and you've said it in breathing, you know, some of us are just called to duty. And I just give God thanks for the opportunity to be able to not just do this as an immigrant, but as a black woman, a woman from the region that knew what it was to be captive but free, you know. So I'm excited to talk with you today on the issues that we have at hand. And more so, I heard the introduction of the folks having received the stimulus, this rescue plan resource, that so many people having a $1,400 check, in most cases, people have to work 2 weeks' pay, wherein folks who still don't have the minimum wage increased to $15 an hour. So you're right. So many folks, this is a lifesaver in so many ways.
Yes.
And I just want to, like you said, continue to support this initiative for the rescue plan for this country. And I'll also like to touch on a few others when the conversation continues.
Yes. Well, before you came on, Ellen and I were talking about the minority community and COVID-19. And we're all watching all the governors, all 50 states, different people are doing different things. And it's almost like they've made the vaccine and the coronavirus so political that it's spilled onto communities. And I'm noticing that a lot of my minority sisters and brothers, people from the Caribbean, they're saying, well, I don't want to take the vaccine. And I'm saying to them, listen, I'm a nurse, I work in long-term care, and I already got both of my vaccines. What do you think is stopping our sisters and brothers from taking this vaccine, and where are we losing the messaging with our people?
Well, you know, it's in all honesty, my sister Theda, you know, I can see some folks' position. But anyone from the Caribbean have experienced immunization from puberty, from literally from childcare. From as a nurse practitioner, you know that an infant is vaccinated in the region. Many places across the world, immunization is necessary. We've had to use immunization vaccines for polio, smallpox, measles, and other diseases that have come into play. But the concern is that many people have also seen the effects of the testing of pharmaceutical companies in third world countries in the Caribbean and in Africa. And those are some of the things that messaging, information, and the stress of where science and technology has increased needs to be emphasized and expressed to our community. There's no question history has actually prevailed where, you know, our black and brown people have been experimented on. And I think that is one of the reasons why we need to make sure that people who represent our diaspora or communities take the move, show them that it's safe. Because in all fairness, my sister, you know, we haven't seen a regeneration of polio. We haven't seen measles to the extent that it was, and smallpox back in the last preceding five decades ago. So there is an increase in science and an awareness. And I think what happened for many people is, you know, the expedience of this test. You know, usually vaccines take years for development, but you and I know that where there's an urgency, there is a need.
Right.
And so there is no question that science had to be motivated and activated. It's not like there's one now, so there's a competition actually happening in manufacturing these drugs where we now have four companies we know, five country producing, and there's still not enough.
Right.
So I'm encouraging all of our people in our listening ear, you know, if you are able to take this vaccine, usually I don't come out to advocate, but here's the thing. People who are black and brown are usually genetically inclined to have some kind of medical pre-existing condition.
Right, we're predisposed to a lot of stuff.
Exactly. So if you, this is my take. We have long been frontline workers. We're healthcare providers, teachers, frontline nurses, you name it, we're in it. That's what we do, service providers, retail, social, everything we do. So I strongly encourage us, you know, my personal position is I want to live as the mother of a son and two grandkids. And so I'm taking the vaccine.
Right.
And I would just encourage folks, let's just stop this thing. Let's apply the same thing we did to smallpox and polio. Let's stop it. Let's go out there so we can resort to some normality and do this.
Well, I think we all want to go back. I want to go back to Trinidad and see my family. I want to spend time with my friends. I want normalcy again. But I think that only happens if we have faith, common sense, and believe in science. Ellen, don't you agree? Ellen?
Yes, absolutely.
We've been talking about that a lot on the show.
Yes, I totally believe in science. And I also believe that in people's respecting people's ideas of what they want to do, you know what I mean, and respecting their opinion if they've got a valid opinion. I don't agree with all the conspiracy theory things, and I think that has a lot to do with again public information that gets out there,
and
how it gets spread. That's social media and all of that that really contributes to a lot of
right, and all the people who are spreading the false information and misinformation. They need to stop, because they're not helping humanity.
None.
If you love the world and you love all God's children, speak the truth.
Absolutely
right. So Karen, you know what? I know, like, you and I talk all the time, and we have so many things we talk about, because, you know, people ask me all the time, why are you registered as a Democrat? And I say to them, listen, it's not even about who's a Democrat or Republican. You have to ask yourself when you wake up every day, if you have food on the table and a warm bed to sleep in, and you have a job, you have health care, you have a little finances, and you have, you know, your children are doing well and you're doing well, why wouldn't you want that for someone else? So when people ask you, you know, the same question, which I'm sure they look at us and say, well, you know, when you moderate girls, you know, where do you stand with this? What do you say to them when they ask you, what are you fighting for? What are you advocating for? And I rattle it off, you know, clean air, water, food, healthcare, education. Yeah. And then they look at me like I want the same thing. So then I say, well, wait a minute. Most people, doesn't matter who you what you registered as, you do want the same thing, right?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think one of the things that we have failed to do in many cases is to be as expressive as you are, my sister. You are a radical in describing and explaining what society really needs. There's no question, anyone who wakes up every day, you know, the idea, the propaganda of socialism is the big problem we have in explaining ourselves. I'm a Democrat because I believe in this, in the fact that freedom is essential. And I believe in equality. I believe in sovereignty, in the freedom of religion, and the freedom of practice, and the freedom just to be successful, and not in a capitalistic world where people can either strive, allow themselves to be educated, and just the overall freedom of not chastising, segregating black, brown, your religious freedoms, who you choose to love. There's a whole lot of reasons why this party appeals to me. I think for a lot of reasons, folks, you know, we're misguided sometimes to think that you cannot be of faith if you're a Democrat, which is the farthest thing from the truth. Because so many, no matter where you come from in the world, if you're not practicing a religion, you still have a belief. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we experience here in our Democratic Party. And for all those reasons, I want a free world. I want to make sure that I leave a society with the freedoms that I strived for. Everyone with an opportunity to work, to accomplish. And I think what it is that we as Democrats need to identify with are people in general. Because right now, this pandemic shows that we are neutral in our disasters. We've all experienced the same tragedy of death, displacement, and a lack of prosperity. And so this is an equalizing time to see how. Case in point, the previous administration had a CARES Act. And as far as I'm concerned, people of black and brown did not get the care we needed. There was no action, there was restrictions, and even the PPP funding. This went to the big companies. Now with this rescue plan that the Biden administration has brought in, Kamala Harris and Biden, is that we now have a prosperity, we now have a recovery package that affords mom and pop shops, small business owners, to now apply for the same funding that other companies did. So it's for all these reasons. Immigration is a big part to me because this country was built on that. You and I know, my sister.
Yes.
Every day you get up, you in the healthcare system, first let me just stop for a minute and commend you. Helen, thank you too for what you do on this program. I want to commend you, sister, for getting up every day because I know you don't have to. I know that this is a choice to you to do good every day. Thank you for standing in the front line to help people who are physically challenged, sick, needy, and seniors. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're so welcome. And, you know, you touched on something that's so very important. You know, when COVID-19 hit, the coronavirus did not care what your race was. It really didn't care what religion you had. It didn't care what class you had. It didn't care the color of your skin, your zip code. It didn't care what your political party affiliation was. Mr. Death came, and Mr. Death came for people. And I was hoping that the world would sit down and take a breath and say, let's change our behaviors to one another. Because at the end of the day, we all want to be loved and accepted, and we want to survive on this earthly journey that we call life. But unfortunately, so many people chose to make the coronavirus and what was happening political. And it affected us here in Florida because we saw where President Donald Trump got over 375,000 votes more than Joe Biden in Florida. And I think it's because the Democrats in Florida, who I know so many of them, they lost their way to messaging and trying to get those two words, socialism and social programs. I don't think they were able to show the people what those two things are and what can we do moving forward.
Well, we've already started. As you know, in my new role, and let me just say this, that you're so right. Wars in this world were started by propaganda in the last century, and it continues to be misinformation and misguidedness. You know, people who voted in South Florida, for example, in Miami-Dade, the community here, we have a large immigrant Hispanic community from different sections of the Hispanic world and language. People from Cuba, Venezuela, Colombia, Puerto Rico all have a different experience as to what democracy is and what it looks like to be socialist. And so there was two things. They looked at socialism and what we saw as gun control and policing. There were so many reasons why we didn't get an opportunity to do this. Republicans have long had that three-word pitch of information. I think now where we are is like this program, my sister. We're going to be making sure that the message is out, that people now understand that socialism, all we wanted to say is that every American should have health care, regardless of what where you are. Human rights, to have medical care is a human right. And so those are some of the things that they saw as socialism. And we just have to come to those discussions.
Right, and it's so unfair because a lot of I have friends in Miami, for example, who are social workers, and they said in some of those communities you would go to a home where people, whether they're from Cuba, Colombia, Puerto Rico, Trinidad, born here in the United States, there would be multiple families in these multi-generational homes, and a lot of them are on food stamps, they're disability, they're on Medicaid, they're sending their children to public schools, they're using the roads, and then they vote Republican and they say, I don't like socialism. Well, guess what? You're using the social programs that all of us wake up every day and pay taxes for. So I think that's where, once they started off with that messaging about socialism and communism, we have to say, how did you get here? Did you fly or did you use the road?
Well, you know, Sita, it goes a little further than that, because those who are receiving those programs, the Republican Party actually turned it around to say, you know, undocumented people are taking your benefits. They're not just coming to get your job. They're on Medicaid. They're getting food stamps, which is the farthest thing from the truth. Anyone knows that anyone who's undocumented cannot benefit from any federal or social services benefits. So we have to come to those conversations. But ironically, here's a big thing. Coronavirus has now created a pandemic of ill health. Anyone who had succumbed to this illness will now have a pre-existing condition. and the governor of the state, we still do not have Medicaid expansion. So I do know that from this rescue plan that President Biden has instrumented and introduced, there will be a focus on COVID recovery to reach every single person in this country, a reduction in costs for for the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and for those who can't afford it, it will now become part of a necessity. So I'm still hopeful, more so now, knowing that we have a compassionate president in the White House who not only saw this as to be caring, but to rescue a society in so many ways, economically, socially, and in all the areas that needs to build back America better.
Right. And I don't know how people would say, well, they say health is equal to wealth. Well, guess what? If you think about that, you can't have a wealthy society or emotionally stable society if people are not healthy, mentally, physically, emotionally, you know, all that leads to financial health. And they don't want to expand Medicaid for people who need it. So that has always mind-boggled me as to why. I mean, the rich can write a check. The poor would get Medicaid. And the middle class is struggling just for help us out. Expand Medicaid.
You know, Sita, you touched on something that we're also going to have to understand, that folks who might not have had, very interesting point about mental health. Folks who did not experience COVID in any kind of diagnostic physical injuries, there are people who've seen multiple people in their family dead from COVID. That trauma alone is going to cause psychological and mental illnesses. And the hardship of people being homeless because they lost their jobs. So we're going to have another social pandemic in the state of Florida that would require a governor who's going to be sympathetic to those needs. So my role in this, and the new chair of the Democratic Party, is looking forward to make sure that Florida elects a governor who is going to be sensitive to understanding that COVID will in fact have created pre-existing conditions which healthcare will be needed, social services for those to come back, senior citizens to be able to recover from choosing medication over food. And so this is why I'm here, my sister. I look forward to collaborating with you as we go forward in securing the social benefits and values of our society and not seeing it as socialism.
Well, we're going to give you a few more minutes because this conversation is so enlightening. So here's the thing. I was reading on Facebook this morning this article about what this new bill that they're talking about, the right for people to protest or not protest. Now, I've been to a lot of protests in my life, and I've never seen any violence. I have seen like-minded people fight for clean air. I've seen like-minded people fight for a reform, for safety reforms to keep the Second Amendment, but be responsible. I've seen people fight for women to have the right for their reproductive organs and their health, because you can't say you're pro-life and when people are born, you say to hell with you, you know, so, and I don't mean to use that word, but that's what people say, not me per se, but you're supposed to care about issues after people are born. And a lot of people say, well, you're on your own now. Your parents have to figure it out. So what do you think about this protesting bill that the governor is coming up with in the Florida legislature?
I think what has happened is that it's the same thing. How ironic is it that the same bill, in Georgia, it was about voter suppression, and here it was about no protest. It, in my opinion, this is ahead of the next election cycle. It is a means of curtailing any kind of free protest, however we demonstrate ourselves, freedom of speech, and we have an opportunity in our Constitution to do just that. I see it as really a retaliation and a precaution to what they choose to have. It's almost like stand your ground, where they want to basically put people in jail for just standing up for your opinion. So I believe that this is all counter. It is what you refer to in sociology as basically transference. It is a way of being preemptive to what we now know is going to be the most expensive election cycle. Now that we have the former president who's changed his address to here, they now see Florida as a holding Republican state. And I can tell you right now, the South has changed because we've seen what happened in Georgia. This is a way to curtail any kind of advanced movement in the state of Florida. So the only way to correct that is what we're going to be doing. We're going to make sure we galvanize, we lawfully protest, and we lawfully do the things to secure us.
And peacefully.
Just before I leave that point.
Lawfully and peacefully.
And peacefully. But keep in mind that we've seen it across the country. Lots of people who got up there to say they were supporting Black Lives Matter were really people protesting. They basically created a misinformation concept campaign. Not everybody was out there peacefully protesting. So we need to be guarded. We need to, as you said, you've protested, you've been out there in you know, demonstrations, but we need to make sure we're applying wisdom to our to getting our message out there.
Well, you know, as we age, we age, a lot of us, we get bolder and wiser with the knowledge that the good Lord puts in our brain as we get older, and we try to pass it on to the next generation, those who listen and those who don't listen. But every family needs an Auntie Maxine that says, when you turn 18, I want to know if you're registered to vote or not. We need an Auntie Maxine to say, when you get pregnant and you go to the hospital and you have your baby, before you come home with that baby, here's the checklist. Do you care about this baby's education? Yes or no? Do you care about the baby having clean air, food, and water? Yes or no? Should the baby have a place to live? Is there a father involved? Do you have a community? And if that mother says yes to all those questions, then you say, here is your voter's application. You register to vote now because you're voting for this baby to have a better life.
My sister Sita, I suggest you start that campaign immediately at prenatal clinics. I mean, needs to.
Well, you know, in Trinidad, right outside Planned Parenthood. Trinidad, when you get pregnant, right, in some of the families, the minute you come home and say, we're having a baby, they say, well, who's going to mind it? And they put the fear of God into you that, and that when that word mind comes up, they mean who's going to feed it, clothe it, change it, watch it. You know, so the thing is, what has happened to our community, people here who just, they just vote and run? With the remaining minute we have, how do we get them to stay more engaged and involved year round and talk about issues around their kitchen table?
Well, do what we're doing now. Make sure we have people messaging. Continue to spread the word. We're going to, this time around, we're having a year round ground grassroots movement of engagement. Everyone and every single person in the state of Florida is going to be informed daily as to social services, the benefits, and the reason why we need to have clean air. We live in an era where we are prone to hurricanes and devastations. A senior citizen community, relocating folks to Florida, students here, and an occupational advanced growing population. We're going to make sure every day we're talking to folks, which is why I'm here with you today, my sister. And I look forward to not only doing this educationally, but socially. And I welcome you too, my sister, to help me with your candid means of literacy and continue to spread the word of living and civic engagement.
I like to say that, you know, coming from a home with 18 brothers and sisters, there was no better advocate or therapist than Nanny Raj, my deceased mother.
Thank you, Dr. Karen Green, for joining us today. What a great discussion we had, and what a great honor to have you. Thank you so much. We're going to listen to a little bit of our sponsors right now on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, but stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great segment with Karen Green before Miss Ellen.
Yes, she's an amazing woman. And if you have not looked her up, you can just Google her. And she's got obviously a lot of information out there on her information. But if you're looking to get us online right now, you can go to 1510wwbc.com and hit that on-demand button. And you can hear us live from your car or from your phone.
And for our listeners who are just tuning in, Ellen and I sit here every Monday with our friend Samantha as well, who's off today. And we talk about kitchen table topics, things that are going on right here in Brevard, around the nation, and all over the world. And we use our show and our voice in an unscripted, very informative, and quite interesting manner to talk about things that empower other people. And one of the women that we have calling in today, Santana Payne, is just one of those people that empowers and motivates and lifts people up and try to give positive advice from her heart. And we're so happy that she's taken the time to call in from Virginia and talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today. So welcome to our show, Santana. And you are a dreamer and a visionary behind everything that's great.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so very grateful to have been invited.
And you are a wife, you're a mom, you're a daughter, a sister, a cousin, a friend, an associate, a co-worker. You're just an all-round good human being. You're the kind of person that we like to have on our show because you uplift others. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you come up with this say it with love, sis?
So thank you. I'm everything that you just mentioned, just like most women out there. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a daughter, a sister, cousin, all of that. I'm also a working mom, and I'm also supported by my husband, Earl, my amazing four children, Frank, Mira, Nana, and Naz, and my grandbaby. So this is everything that I'm made of on top of just life in general. But to answer your question, what comes with the Say It Sis Inc., this is a platform that I created because as a person, I always strive to be more self-aware, more self-confident, and self-love throughout life. And so I'm an advocate for embracing self-truth and continuous self-growth. So in no way am I perfect, but what I strive to do is build a community where women can feel the same, be a place where they can actually feel like they're not going through life navigating it alone. And so what I wanted to do was build a platform for women that from all backgrounds, we could share an intimate space for growth, education, discussion, and opportunity. Because I believe that women have so much to say, hence Say It Sis, and I just wanted to provide a platform where women could be emboldened, empowered, and supported through every effort in life and not have to feel like they're going through it alone.
Right. And you know, sometimes it's not what we say, it's how we say it.
Right.
And it's good to have a platform because, you know, like I could say something to my daughters and they take it in a way that I'm judging. But then I go on your platform and I read what some of the other women are saying or you're saying, and then I might learn to change my wording a little bit, change my thought process. And that's important because every day we wake up, we learn something new.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more. It is a continuous learning process for every individual out in life to continuously try to grow. And the more we become self-aware about who we are, the better we are to self-manage ourselves around others. So therefore, it takes a conscious effort for us to learn each other in order for us to grow in the path so everyone can meet their goals. So, and love is the base of that, and the ability to take a step back and want to understand other people so that we can move forward. And Say It Sis offers that as a platform for women to be able to understand each other, maybe look at things from different perspectives, be encouraged in the goals that they're trying to make so that we all can live, you know, a better life with less regrets on how we're doing things and how we're handling
it. Yeah. And why do you think so many people fail to communicate with others? Like, I can go to a grocery store and chat with someone. I can go to Home Depot and strike up a conversation with the cashier. And you'll think that I know everything about the people when I leave. And believe you me, I'll go to, like, Home Depot and I'll open my mouth and start talking. And I learn so much and I get so many ideas from people. Like, somebody said, oh, you're from Trinidad. The manager of the store is from Trinidad. Next thing you know, you're talking about food and, you know, back home and stuff. And I wonder why people just don't smile and start talking with others. What do you think? Why do you think other people just don't do that? Because when you communicate, you learn so much.
In my own experience, and specifically referencing the platform, is especially when I think about when I first started it, a lot of people didn't want to communicate or maybe were a little bit on the fence about what I was doing because some people come from different backgrounds and some people come from hurtful places where they feel as though like, hey, what's your motive? What are you trying to get across? Why are you speaking to me? And then on the other side, it could be more of a cultural thing where people are just not used to speaking. And I'm just like you, Masita. Like, I speak to everybody. I love and I embrace on everybody. But what I found having to do is put myself in other people's shoes. And I found that people come from different backgrounds, which may make them hesitate to speak. And then oftentimes with the platform, I found that women have been hurt through other relationships with other women or with other people in general, that sometimes it's kind of it puts a hesitation there for people to share. And what we have to do is continue to embrace people, be a little bit more transparent about our intentions so people can open up and people can see that we're trying to
right, and get benefits. They get a lot of benefits from being on your platform. So, you know, when Vice President Kamala Harris spoke when she's running as the VP, even when she had her own campaign, she said something that her mother said, if you see something, you do something about it. Don't complain, right?
Right.
So who was your role model that inspired you on this journey to do what you're doing to help others?
It would have to be both my grandmothers, my mom's mom and my dad's mom. That's My dad's mom's name is Miss Ruth, and my mom's mom is Miss Bell. They were both integral, strong women in my life who actually showed me, hey, you need to show love to the world. And what you also need to do is that when something is hard, you don't need to give up. You need to continue striving for what the goals are that you need in your life. They also told me to keep 10% of myself off onto the side when I am engaging with other people so that I'll have a part of me to always show as I'm going forth, as I'm meeting my goals. So they have always been there, a consistent and constant in my life to just push me forward, propel me through life, knowing that I went through many challenges, even being, you know, from when I was a teenage parent all the way up until joining the military, all the way up until now as a woman, feeling like, as a 36-year-old, I'm just starting to regrow. I'm just starting over again. And so they always told me to make sure that I continue to seek self-truth and continue to be the best that I can be for myself, because if I'm good, then everybody else around me will be.
You know, when you said that your son was looking into going to Howard University, I looked at Ellen and I said, she sounds so young, 36. Now that makes sense. So you were a teenage mom, so you went through a lot. You faced a lot of challenges. But to have your son at this time in your life, a brilliant child who's going to Howard University, congratulations, Mom. You've done well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, I try to say, you know, like there are things that we have to focus on, right? And the good Lord gave us all these senses to feel, to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to just be alive and enjoy every day as it comes, right? Life is beautiful as we make it. But you, my dear Santana Page, you have a full-time job, you're a wife, a mom, and you have your, you're doing this great stuff with Say It With Love, sis. How do you find that work-life balance?
Support. I just think for all the support that I have around me, from my husband, to my mom, to all these women since I started the platform back in June of 2020. From then, I've met over 90 different women, and there's not a lady out there that I can't call that I've met. Some of them I've only met over Zoom. I haven't met personally, who are offering things, you know, to help and to assist. If I need something to someone help with the platform, if I have something to do, because the platform seeks to represent women as a whole. So even though I brewed it or I birthed it, I give it back to the ladies to do what they want with it as well. So without support, to answer your question, Nasita, from everybody that's been around me this past year, I don't think I could do it. So right. I'm so very grateful to my family and my friends.
And doesn't it make you feel good when you are now taking your knowledge and experience and helping others, but also letting people see that if they want to have a hand in something and they want to be part of it, why not? It just makes you feel better that you're giving somebody else an opportunity, a chance.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think with the platform, I've seen so many women, like I know that we're having a chat tonight at 7, and one of the ladies, we call them sis, or sisters or sisters or whatever, she's taking over the platform tonight to host one of our group chats, and I can just see how the energy that she's putting behind it, when you're putting people out front, giving them that boost, giving them that love to say, hey sis, you are beautiful, you are loved, you are heard, we want to hear what you have to say. It's the most rewarding feeling to help someone else in their journey as well.
You sound amazing. I hope you come to Brevard County, Florida one day and meet me, because I think we would have a lot to chat about and we would have a lot in common. So where do you see your platform, Say It With Sis, in like, say, 2 to 3 years? Or just tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends any of your plans. Ellen is looking at your website right now and showing it to me, and I think she has something to say.
Well, first of all, I love the pictures, and I love everything about the community and what you've put on the website. And one of the things I don't think that we mentioned is that you're an active duty sailor in the United States Navy. So thank you so much for your service.
Thanks for your
and doing all of this other stuff. We forgot about that.
I don't think
like
she
protecting
sleeps.
Our country and raising four children.
She reminds me of myself. She doesn't sleep.
Right. Exactly.
So what's in store for you? I mean, you, in a few years you have things coming up that you're going to expand. I'm pretty sure.
Right. So hopefully in the, I am going to retire here, believe it or not, in the next 3 years from the military. So definitely that is an integral part on how my business grows. In the next few years. However, I do the platform. I do want to continue to expand the growth of women. I can tell you, opportunities or ideas come to me very sporadically sometimes, and I just go. I get after it. I do pray about it, and then I go and get after it. But in a few years, I want to see larger community projects. Right now, we are working towards getting our official 501(c)(3), and I have some women in the background helping me as I get everything internally going. I want to be that official platform so that we can reach places globally. I also want to help women when grow their business. I want them to see that, hey, if you are an entrepreneur, get out there, get after your goals, and meet those things, because life is the next day isn't promised to us. There's no time to wait. We need to.
And
get
she's only
those
and she's only 36, Ellen. You're only 30. Look at you. You've done a lot, sister. So what do you tell those women who? I mean, I work full time. I have the radio show. Ellen and I have been doing this for almost 11 years. I also help my husband manage our properties, and, you know, I manage his medical practice at one time. But I love being busy. And I think you're right in that if somebody has a dream and they want to do something, they should follow up on it. But what do you say to the ones that says, I just don't know how to start?
Well, you just need to reach out. First, you can reach out to me here, say this. And I will definitely help you get started, because I like to say that I'm the ultimate encourager. But what I would say is, don't be shy to get into the information. Look, ask people. See those people that are already in the path. Don't be intimidated by other people who are already in your path. See them as mentors. Grab onto those mentors. Talk to them. Get the information you need in order for you to get started. And I'm telling you, don't wait. Don't hesitate. And don't tell yourself you can't do it.
Right.
Anything is possible.
I believe that too.
I remember going to, and I supported and went to a lot of Tony Robbins events quite a bit, because I had connected with that community a long time ago. And I always remember him resonating that one saying to me, is the only thing that is standing in your way of doing anything that you want to do is the story that you tell yourself of why you can't do it.
It's you
standing in your own way. If you're not accepting of the people that are in front of you, like what you said, finding those mentors, you got to put the mirror in your face and realize that this is not other people's problems. This is you.
Well, everything starts with you.
Right.
Happiness starts with you.
And just going through the website, Santana, I just want to, you know, make sure that our listeners know, it seems like every Monday at 7 p.m., you've got a great topic choice that you affect women in a private, intimate setting, so that they're at Zoom, right? So you can... I think last week was Boss Queen Entrepreneur
Night. Yeah. That piece was a live show that we did where we showcased. What I did was I go and I seek out business owners, specifically women business owners, and I showcase them on a platform to give them an opportunity for the world to see them, advertising and networking. But we also do have the Monday group intimate chats at 7 p.m., which you have to go on the website to register for those. Once you register, the topics will vary. I mean, we have talked about stay-at-home moms. We've talked about working moms. We've talked about topics about self-awareness. I mean, the topics have been all over the place. And what you do is tonight is going to be a surprise topic. I don't know what the crew member Teresa is taking over and actually talking about, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome and great. So it's just an intimate space where we can feel free to talk about whatever that's on our mind. No judgment, all love.
Well, and as a personal friend and a business partner with Sita Begee, I am offering her services for one of your Monday night chats, because she is an amazing speaker and very inspiring.
And so are you, Miss Ellen.
Well, in general, I can do the business part of it, but you are fantastic from a life balance.
Yeah, I think I make people laugh too.
You do.
We do. But but Santana, number one, I love your name. You remind me of that musician.
Yeah, of
right.
Course. That's his name.
It's Carlos Santana. Every time I say your name. But you know what? I was going to tell you, I love your platform. And I think one of the things that us women and people in general shy away from speaking about is to tell folks that every single day, if you have a kitchen table, great. if you have a step like I did when I was growing up, we had no table. We just had steps and we all sat on the steps and we ate. But people need to have discussions around their kitchen table about issues that affect them, their community, and their children. And one of the things that people shy away from talking about is voting. Everyone, I don't care if you what you register as or who or with what, but you got to vote and you got to make sure you're part of your community and stay involved.
Correct. I agree with you 110%. Yes, ma'am.
Because you can't complain if you're not part of the solution. You can't complain if you didn't take the time to figure out if there's a water in your district that's turning black. You can't complain if your children don't have teachers in their school that have the appropriate class size. You can't complain if you're not helping your children with homework. You can't complain if you don't have health care, but you didn't talk to somebody about it. So people complain, but they don't want to put in the time to get results and have solutions. And I think your platform opens up, you know, a person's mind to so many things to make a person wholesome, you know? And I think it's wonderful. You dream big, but you also, you're giving people a vision for themselves to do things and dream as well.
You're absolutely right. Like you described the Monday chats. You said it's like you were stating that, like sitting at a table and having a chat. That's exactly what the Monday chats are. It's us sitting at the table. If you want to speak, anybody can speak. Everybody knows that it's a safe place. Everybody knows what stays in the chat, what says in the chat stays in the chat, because we're trying to empower people. We're trying to encourage people and build people up, and specifically, again, women, because we are a targeted community where we're not built up as often. We're always expected to carry these heavy burdens of everything that I mentioned that I was, everything that you are, Masita, and every other woman out there, but then we forget about ourselves. And so this chat is an intimate space where we can reconnect with who we are and love on ourselves to get after our own goals. So thank you. You summed that up awesomely.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know what it is, too? You know, we see a lot of gun violence, right? And I have friends who are from China and Vietnam and the Philippines. And you know what? A friend of mine was saying, you know, I'm really fearful because of how I look. And I said, well, I sympathize and I'm so sorry you feel that way. But, you know, people need a space where they could say, look, I'm scared. And how do I talk to my children? I mean, you can't hide if the good Lord made you dark or white or brown and what kind of features he gave you. That's the way he sent you into this planet. And I think spaces like Say It With Love, Sis, is a place where people can come on and, like you say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? So what happens the platform stays in the platform. Have you had any topics with people who are worried about gun violence or reforms?
We haven't had any topics specific to that, but we did have some topics focused more so on like Black Lives Matter type topics. We have had topics focused on like colorism, those type of things, but we haven't specifically touched on gun violence. But I'm sure at some point we probably will, especially even lately having the mass shootings that just happened. I can tell you, I talked to two of the sisters this week and they were devastated by it. And so I'm sure it'll be a topic. It's just wherever our heart leads us in those conversations, and that's pretty much where we go.
And another topic, you know, working in a nursing facility and being a nursing home long-term care nurse for over 32 years, one of the topics that I find in this culture, the American culture, is that people are afraid to talk about the death and dying process. It's almost like nobody wants to touch that subject. And so when someone does die, whether it's at the hand of a gun, you know, crazed gun person or any other way, they just don't talk about it. And I think it's good for people to talk about those things, because then you talk about, you know, a DNR and what you want to happen to you when you get older. And do you want to have a feeding tube? Do you want to have, you know, what life preserving measures? I think that those kind of topics I see that women shy away from. Do you see that in the group? Have you spoken to anybody about that?
So, no, we haven't touched that. And, Masita, it sounds like you're ready to come host the chat for us. That's what it sounds
right?
like.
Right? I'm telling you. I'm selling her off.
So, what happens is I try to get, one of the things I try to do is get experts on the platform as guest speakers for those type of things. And I, what I try to do is make sure that it's in a live event, so that way the information isn't just shared with just the ladies in the intimate setting, which the Zoom calls are, that we can actually put you on the live platform, have you showcase to the, have that person showcase to the world. We've had guest speakers on board to come tell us about those things that are important when it comes to issues, not necessarily, not specifically to what you're saying, but just in general. So, Ms. Sita, it sounds like you're ready to be a special guest.
Yes, absolutely. I'll have to go to her house to make sure she's got the whole Zoom thing.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Yeah, she will. Yeah, well, and I'll make her some curry chicken for that.
There you go.
She'll come, well, she doesn't eat meat, but I'll make her something. But you know what I like about you is that you're honest, and what you're doing is empowering not just Ellen and I, but so many women. Because in addition to being part of the armed forces, hey, we were just going to ask you, when you, as a sailor, are you on a ship at all? Do you go, or do they put you in an office and say, you guys stay here?
I know, I'm not currently on the ship.
Oh, good.
Right now, I'm currently stationed at one of the hospitals. My last duty station was on a ship, but right now I am currently in a shore status.
Oh, good, good, good.
Well, once
so
again,
you're safe. You're safe. So
thank you, Santana,
we need the
for
website.
Your service.
We need your website before you go, really quick, and then it was a real pleasure to have you on.
Absolutely. So, yes, everyone that's out there listening, first, thank you so much for listening to me. You can definitely check me out at www.sayitsiswithlove.com. That's SAYITSISWITHLOVE.com. You can also check out me on social media platforms at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and of course YouTube at Say It Sis Inc.
Yes, and that's where you sign up for all of these great events that Say It With Love Sis is on. So make sure that you sign up there. Thank you again, Sita, for another fantastic show. We'll see you all next week, and listen in here at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on 1510 WWBC.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Sweet.